All right. Well, good morning, folks. Boy, that was close, wasn't it? We have had some technical problems because, as you know, Skype is a Microsoft product, and that's bad enough, but who knows what else was going on. In any case, Phil helped us out. We finally got everybody on board. So let me start just a few seconds late and say good morning. Welcome back. Yes, it's a Friday. That means it's time for Drive Time Friday, and the gang's all here. We got yours truly, Mark Call, in the Southern Colorado Mountains. We have Jeff Gilbert a heck of a lot further south in Costa Rica. And we have Tim Kern on with us again via a phone connection, and that was part of the issue. We'll have to get you on Skype one of these days, Tim. In any case, guys, good morning. There is so much to talk about today that I am honestly at a loss as to which of the various transgressions of law and sanity we need to start with. But, Tim, let's go to you first and just say, okay, take us where you'd like to begin with because we got to go all kinds of places.
I'll do a brief good news story, which is predictable as all get out. After today, we get some of our sunlight back. I could use some of that.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And that's all the good news I have.
Okay. So, I thought you were going to talk about Mattis when you said good news.
Well, that is some good news. Not because Mattis is quitting, but because Mattis is a warrior. And Trump does not need a warrior right now. He needs somebody that can help him get out of Syria and Afghanistan and all those places that everybody's been screaming to get out of for the last 25 years. And this is a great deal. Halliburton stock's probably going to plunge. But when you take a look at this, isn't this what every candidate has promised and everybody has been clamoring for 20 years? We've been in Afghanistan since 2001. And as Donald Rumsfeld says, we're not running out of targets. Afghanistan is running out of targets.
Yeah, so
and
we
Donald
need...
Rumsfeld is like four secretaries of defense ago. So
I thought the mission was completed.
The mission was completed, yes. And so what the heck are we still doing there? I'm all for it.
Okay, so let's recap.
The Russians are going to run in and they're going to overextend themselves again, and it'll still be to our favor. Short term, it looks like a disaster, but short term, every change is a disaster.
So here's the quick summary.
What you got to look at.
In case folks have missed it, Trump announced that there was going to be a drawdown. I guess that's a way to put it in Syria. I guess that means ISIS is going to have to find other sources of funding, says this particular cynic. And it also means the cynic continues that just as we've seen the last several times that Trump has said we're going to start withdrawing from these places, we'll probably have another false flag chemical weapons attack right on schedule. So immediately, though, after the situation in Syria looks like it's going to move away from warfare, you're right, Defense Secretary James Mattis turned in a resignation letter. There seems to have been a little bit of friction there. Trump did tweet that he was going to be retired.
Yeah,
just a little. He'll be retiring with distinction at the end of February. You know, a lot of good progress made, blah-de-blah-de-blah. And Mattis basically in his resignation letter said, well, maybe this will give you time to find somebody who's more in tune with your own thinking, which is about as much of a slap in the face as you get in these kind of things. So I, for one, am not going to be too upset to see the guy go. Most of the neocons are literally you-know-whatting in their drawers about it, though. Here's a headline from the Wall Street Journal saying that, you know, after Trump's immediate removal of a handful of personnel from Syria, he's going to extract 2,000 more over the next few weeks, ending the four-year campaign. They don't mention that this is going to be something that ISIS is going to have to deal with because who's going to give them leftover ammunition and battle equipment on the field as they leave, because that was what was happening before. And establishment meltdown. Here's a headline from the Gateway Pundit. Over Mattis' resignation. Of course, the usual neocons are talking about impeaching the president or even staging a coup. So he gets a coup staged against him because he shouldn't have won an election that they didn't rig well enough, and now it's going to be because he's backing down from wars. But don't worry, there's always Russia and China. And what was funny, I thought, was this follow-up headline. Just quickly, from the Gateway Pundit.
Would be a great, Yeah, but I mean, think how great a coup attempt would be. You know, there'd be a whole bunch of these clowns would be in jail.
Well, that might be the only way it's going to happen. The slow motion coup. Well, the slow motion coup is still in progress, and that hasn't managed to put anybody in jail yet. All I was going to add, Tim, was that the same cabal of media and neocons on both sides of the aisle said nothing when Barry Sabarco, you know, the guy with all the aliases, fired the same General Mattis back in 2013, and Obama didn't even have the courtesy to call him on the phone. So a different story then and a different reaction, and, gee, have we ever seen that before? Jeff, you got to weigh in on all this. If there's anything else on the war front you want to throw out, go ahead.
Well, other than Putin is very happy that the American military is moving out of Syria. He's very happy about that. He's also, you know, Putin, you know, weighing in as the moral high ground he is, says that Theresa May should fulfill the will of the people on Brexit. Seems to be there's going to be some under the table.
Anybody think that's going to happen?
Yeah. Slow motion. What'd you call a slow motion coup? All I could think of is the white Bronco coup. That's what I wanted to call it.
Oh, that's an interesting comparison. Bronco? Yeah, yeah. O.J. Simpson. So,
yeah, the slow motion coup.
Only the difference
I
is.
I like that. Yeah.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit. Isn't going to apply to this president.
No. The guy needs help, man. That guy is just, oh, goodness. This is how wonderful we are. This is how wonderful he is, this president is. Our biggest ally in Syria finds out that we're pulling out of Syria because Trump tweets it off the toilet. You know, how is that for being a great ally?
Well, and the only reason he had to tweet it from the toilet, Jeff, was because if he did it from anywhere else, somebody would have leaked it to the press in advance, and there would have already been a false flag.
Yeah.
And speaking of leaks and false flags, I just heard on MSNBC that Mueller is going to...
Do you trust it?
Mueller is going to give us a big Valentine's present. He's going to wrap up by Valentine's Day. Unless, of course, he decides to subpoena the president, in which case this case will go on till 2039 or something.
Or until they kill the guy, whichever comes first. And I'm talking about the president, because if there was any other thing that was going to happen, well, that would be a crime. It's hard. When you said that, honestly, Tim, I thought you were going to mention this story about James Comey, who basically was caught lying who knows how many times. He was back in front of the Senate, or I guess it was the Senate, one of the judiciary committees anyway, and he basically told them, I'm not going to answer that. You guys can't make me answer. I'm above you all. And this one is funny. This came from the Washington Times. Comey claims, and you can't trust anything the guy says because his lips are moving, that Trump was only briefed on the most salacious parts of the bogus Fusion GPS document at the direction of the other famous perjurer, James Clapper. He told lawmakers that then National Intelligence Director, James Clapper's decision was because they thought that there were only certain parts that they intended to leak to the press. So that's all they told him about.
Well, James Clapper is the same guy that said that the government wasn't collecting massive amounts of data on the American public.
Under oath, mind you.
And under oath, and of course, he never goes to jail for that either.
No. The only way you can go to jail for lying is if you lie not under oath to the FBI.
Three promises that Trump made that really helped me want to elect him: drain the swamp, lock her up, and build the wall. So far, we're 0 for 3.
Yeah,
and 0, it's not 0, for, and 0.
It's not for lack of trying. It's amazing how deep the deep state is. But if he had started with the drain the swamp piece and the lock her up piece, we could have all three of them done by now.
I completely agree, because basically what we're seeing is that the swamp critters have dug in and reinforced. The only wall that's been built has been the wall to keep anybody else that has an understanding of the rule of law out from being able to drain the swamp. I guess you kind of, through the back door, Tim, introduced the other story this morning, and that is, and I've been following this with very little interest, honestly, the big budget battle. Are we going to do a little whole bunch of nothing? Are we going to posture and pontificate and then end up kicking the can down the road? Well, obviously. But the big battle was over $5 billion or so for the wall. As of yesterday, the story was that the Senate had basically sold the president down the river again and said, okay, you know, when it comes to being neocons, we could care less about the invasion of the United States from the south. But I love this. At least Trump actually called Paul Ryan, the sellout, out of a meeting with the GOP and said, get your butt over to the White House. And after that, they came out and said, oh, we maybe heard the word here. He's going to veto it unless this funding gets in for the wall. So the latest update, now it could have changed since 8 o'clock this morning, that the House has passed the stopgap U.S. government funding bill. Oh, glory be. Who could have imagined the horror if the government had to shut down? And, 98% of the people continue to draw their paychecks and they close the national parks. But anyway, the wall funding is back in because Trump said he wasn't going to sign it otherwise. And now it goes to the Senate, where Chuckie Schumer says, we are going to fund the invasion, but not your wall.
And that's Chuck Schumer. Now, remember back in April when Trump got rolled on the budget, and he said, this is never going to happen again. I'm never going to sign another bill like this. Now, so since April, everyone in Congress has known that he wasn't going to sign another bill like this, because Trump, unlike most politicians that they're used to dealing with, Trump tells you what he's going to do, and then he does it.
Imagine that.
So they've had 8 months to put $5-point-something billion into the budget for this wall. And now Trump did say Mexico was going to pay for it. We don't have any provision there, but you can bet that the renegotiation of NAFTA is going to pay for a lot of it. And he still has the option of, for instance, taxing repatriation money and those kinds of things. The point is, it's roll me once, shame on you. Roll me twice, shame on me. And he ain't gonna have it twice.
And you're right. That's probably the only good news in this whole thing. I guess to some extent, Tim, what kind of bugs me about this is all of the attention behind the Beltway about, oh, it would be such an incredible disaster if we had to quote unquote shut the government down. And I saw two interesting numbers early in the week. One, there was a Senate office basically dealing with the budget came out and admitted that only 14% of the entire budget is even under Congress's control anymore. 86% is fully out of control, and as we've known for years, 90% of it or so is a violation of the Constitution, because it is for spending that's not authorized by the Constitution. So we're only talking about 14% of the budget. They print the money anyway, as we know. It's all made up out of whole cloth. It's so far out of control at this point that if they went completely to zero and didn't spend any money, we're still over the cliff when it comes to an eventual meltdown of the already existing debt. So you have to ask, you know, what's the big deal about $5 billion? Because at least it's actually got something to do with what the Constitution says the president is supposed to do, which is defend the borders, among a few other things that aren't getting done.
Well, that's of course absolutely true, and the problem that, you know, Congress loses $5 billion. They don't even pay attention to it. They've probably paid out that much in hush money.
Well, the Pentagon has admitted to losing trillions.
Really even the issue. Well, you know, we're not in any trouble having a $21 trillion debt because everybody else is in worse shape. They can't call our debt without crashing their economies.
Okay.
So, you know, as long as everybody else is crookeder than we are, or even as crooked, we're still in pretty good shape. I don't worry about that because we all know it's fake. The good part is this fake money keeps us out of prison because we can pay our taxes with it. And if there's anything that's worthwhile, it's staying out of prison. So there's plenty of value in this fake money. There just isn't any intrinsic value in it.
All right. Well, that's an interesting perspective.
If I can trade my $10,000 a year to the IRS to stay out of prison, I think that's a good deal. Since the money's nothing anyway.
Well, you understand though, Tim, they're working on that. As we've seen with the president, and here's another one of those interesting factoids. The average American is said to commit 3 felonies a day. For the most part, they go unnoticed because there are higher profile targets that need to be selectively enforced against. And of course, as what we've seen is one of those is the president. If you keep digging long enough, they'll make up something or they'll find something, or if they have to, they'll just lie about it. And they'll claim he committed a felony. Now, it wasn't treason, it wasn't murder, it wasn't any of the kind of things that we're used to seeing out of the deep state. But it's a lot more serious, evidently, based on the press coverage.
Well, they're working on another piece. There was an obscure law passed during the Coolidge administration, that allows the Secretary of the Treasury, when requested by Congress, to release anybody's tax returns to that congressional committee. And of course, we're going to have a new chairman of the budget committee and everything else come January. And they may invoke that law and they may get Trump's tax returns, and they are not under any obligation to keep them private. Now, whether the Treasury will actually release them is a whole nother kettle of fish, but that should keep us on the boil at least until 2020. Still want Trump's tax returns because, what, the IRS doesn't do a good enough job? I don't know.
NSA could release them, of course. They've got them all, anything that was sent by wire. And the interesting part, of course, is when he's a multi-billionaire, most Americans and most members of the Wall Street Journal editorial staff, even much less New York Times and the Clinton News Network, they wouldn't understand the tax returns anyway. I'm sure they're fairly complex.
Well, they wouldn't. And, of course, if you look at the IRS, every year they run a test, with 3 or 4 or 5 different tax preparers on a semi-complicated return. And every one of them comes up with a different number. The law, the tax law itself is
that
ridiculous.
Vague. But and that
is,
gives
the
them
point
a perfect.
Is, yeah, the point is it's going to feed this frenzy for another couple of years.
You bet. And of course, as we know, you just said it, it doesn't matter whether there's actually a crime in there or not. The MSNBC and Snopes will claim that there was, and that's good enough for the rest of the press.
Well, why hasn't the IRS claimed the problem yet?
For the same
Isn't
reason.
Isn't that their job? Or are the Democrats saying the IRS is no good at their job? I want to hear that.
Well, you're having an attack of logic, Tim. It's the same situation as you find with why it is that Hillary can lie to the FBI. She doesn't even go under oath, destroy evidence, and that's not a crime. James Comey can lie to Congress along with the DNI and all kinds of other criminals and cretins. That's not a crime. But if somebody that just happens to be, thinking he's having a welcome to the White House meeting with a couple of agents is recorded on a 302 that gets changed to have said something different than what they claimed he said before, that is a crime. And if you can smell a rat here,
you understand it perfectly.
Yep. It's selective enforcement.
Sounds like you got it.
Ayn Rand wrote about it in Atlas Shrugged. It's about ruling over innocent
selective
men.
Selective enforcement is of course the keystone of tyranny.
Exactly. There's a law for me and a law for you, and they're not the same. All right, guys.
Mm-hmm. Or they are the same, but I'm just not going to enforce it on my friends.
You bet. All right. Well, I guess from there, there are so many other places we could go, but the one that I want to get to, but we've only got 5 minutes, and this will probably take us beyond the break, and I know Jeff will want to change gears at the bottom of the hour anyway, Tim and I probably, we talked just a minute or two before the top of the hour off air, and we may have a slight difference of opinion. I have a different focus, I guess, than he does. It had to do with the Trump administration bump stock ban. And I'll let Tim give you his objections. He basically kind of is on the same page as I am when it comes to toys that don't really do anything except waste ammunition. But my concern is just how badly this latest move, and it has nothing to do with law, mind you, by the administration to say we're going to rewrite the definition of firearms and dangerous devices and all kinds of bogus things that we have said for a long time we can infringe, so as to outlaw the possession of property that the slaves just are no longer allowed to have. Go ahead, Tim. Kind of introduce us to the bump stock ban and your take on it, if you would.
Well, I think everybody is familiar with a bump stock. You hold the, basically you hold the rifle, the semi-automatic rifle, loosely. It jiggles back and forth on your recoil, and you bump and your finger bumps the trigger. So the thing fires at a much higher rate than it would if you just pulled the trigger.
Unless you were good.
The idea. Well, you know,
I mean, I have seen people. I have seen people that can fire at that kind of same rate with about anything with a properly adjusted trigger, and it's a matter of skill. And they'll probably do a better job of aiming, too, than people who use the bump stock to waste ammo.
Yes, but the people that do these things don't generally have a heck of a lot of skill.
Exactly.
They just want to spray bullets around. Now, should they be illegal? Hell no. But are they useful in any practical sense? Hell no.
They're not.
Now,
You're right.
The problem I've got, of course, is that when we say, well, you know, when they came for the bump stocks, I didn't object, you know, and because I don't think bump stocks are any good. And we have a whole lot more egregious bans, things, for instance, on full auto weapons. And larger
True.
Caliber weapons and so on. We've already got those bans. So this is a nothing burger, although I really hate the principle of the thing where the president has folded on something. I don't know what he got in return for it. Politics is politics, and you're always trading something for something else. Politics is actually a negative sum pie because you never end up with as much as you started with on either side or both sides put together.
Exactly.
But, you know, as far as the violation of the Constitution, yeah, but we've got a lot bigger fish to fry. And as far as anybody needing a bump stock, that's just absurd. You can make your own in about an hour. So,
well, like I said, you
don't worry about it.
You can even learn to do essentially the same thing. All right. Well, there's more to this, and here's the place where I think I agree with everything you said, but I see it as a bit more serious simply because of about a half a dozen easy, obvious, undeniable constitutional violations that I can pick at right off the top. Like, for example, there was no law that was passed here. Once upon a time, we had this Article 1, Section 7 thing that said, here are things Congress can do, here are things that are delegated. Well, we don't have anything that says they have any right to talk about personal, private property, period. And even if you
That is true across the bureaucracy, though.
Exactly.
Every cabinet division has its own set of lawmaking because Congress is just too busy, you know, raising money for the next election or something. You know, they say, okay, we're going to set you up. We're going to set up this BATF under the Justice Department, and we're going to let them make such rules as are, you know, important to them. And we already pre-approve it all. And that way it gets Congress off the hook. They don't actually have to do anything or stand for anything. And that's been working for at least 80 years.
Okay. Well, when we come back.
I love that stuff.
When we come back, we'll have to talk about the other things. I'll just lay them out briefly. But even if you ignore trivial things like shall not be infringed in the Second Amendment, and they do, this one violates Article 9, Article 10 of the Bill of Rights, certainly Article 5, ex post facto laws, Article 1, as we've already mentioned, and the whole concept that free people ought to be able to keep property that they paid for and own. But we'll be back.
Okay, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Drive Time Friday with your hosts, Mark Call, myself, Jeff Gilbert, and Tim Kearns. We are happy you're back with us on this second half of our first day of the sun returning to us, actually us returning to the sun, S-U-N. Anyhow, I want to throw one thing out, and then we'll go back to what you guys were talking about on the other side, because I think this is the most important piece of news that the United States has had in a long time. Finally, a president pulled his head out with the giant pop that echoed across the earth on Thursday, signed the 2018 Farm Bill, which now has allowed the United States to remove hemp from its banned substances, and now we can grow hemp, and I believe this will be the number one benefit to our economy and also to our efforts on cleaning up our planet. And I'm very thankful that finally the pop that was heard around the world happened on Thursday. Tim, tell us more about guns.
Oh, more about guns. You bet. I think we need to watch out for the tactic here. You know, all the reporting from the left is saying, hey, look what Trump did. He sold those people out. He sold his followers out. He sold the people that voted him out. He sold them out because he's allowing bump stocks to be banned. And the funny thing is, that's what they all wanted. There isn't a one of them that's gonna become a Trump supporter over this. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to pull away Trump supporters from the base. And the longer we talk about it, the more we think about it, the bigger the problem that is for Trump. But I will guarantee you, they still hate him afterwards. They still hate him after he pulls out of Syria and Afghanistan. They're still going to hate him no matter what he does that's on their agenda, because they hate Trump.
Exactly.
So we've got to watch how hard we play this and how much we talk about it and what it's worth. It's
all right.
Simply it's a nothing burger, and we're putting too much sauce on it.
Okay, well, while I respect that opinion, Tim, I do disagree about the nothing burger part, and I alluded to this during the break. There are any number of provisions, 9th and 10th Amendments, that basically say they shouldn't do this, and as we know, hey, and you point out correctly, that doesn't mean they haven't been doing it. It's an ex post facto law to the extent that something that people bought, even if it's a stupid toy, that was legal at one time, now they're not only going to say you can't have and it's a crime to have it, but I think this is the part that's even perhaps more interesting. It is a complete and utter violation of what's called the taking clause of the Fifth Amendment, because they're saying you can't keep your own property, you slave, you. And that's the one, honestly, that really bugs me, is the idea that people don't own things anymore. Big Brother tells them you can't have it. New Jersey's done the same thing. And let me just lead into a different direction with this one. We have now people like Swalwa. We've talked about this particular traitor before. There is nobody in the House, honestly, that I think I have less respect for than somebody who comes into office saying, I intend to make war against the American people and steal their stuff. But another California criminal, a traitor, and I use that term explicitly because these people ought to be hung for treason when they come in and say, I intend to make war against the American people. Anyway, the new majority in the House is readying legislation to criminalize private transfers of firearms nationwide. In other words, there's no more private property, and Big Brother will say, you thought you owned it, you don't, you can't transfer it, you can't sell it, you can't do anything with it. And if people were hearing the same thing about, you know, your 1973 Chevy truck because somebody in Congress doesn't like you to be able to drive, and by the way, that might be a dangerous device, you can kill people with it, and they were going to say all of your pre-1995 pickups and cars we're going to outlaw and take away, there'd be a massive outcry. It's a takings. It's a complete violation of what was once called the idea of private property.
I agree, but of course they've already done that as well by introducing ethanol.
You bet, and they're doing it with so many other things.
They've destroyed every pre-2001 vehicle by doing that. So, you know, you got to – I'm just saying pick your battles. We've got much bigger fights to fight. We shouldn't be wasting time, airtime, and everything else when we've got what you're talking about. You've got takings, you've got – and believe me, if you're in New Jersey and you're a cop, Are you going to walk into the house where you know somebody's got a bump stock? Who has a bump stock?
Well, in New Jersey, it's 10-round magazines that they're stealing.
I'm not walking in there.
Remember,
Screw
Tim,
that,
in,
you do it.
In New Jersey, it's 10-round magazines they're criminalizing.
There's a recent law that was passed in Costa Rica that specifically identifies that you can now kill an intruder in your house. Now, obviously, you have to have a gun license to have a gun, but machete, stick, fork, whatever you want to use, even if it's a uniformed police officer.
Jeff, that is actually what the United States common law had said for 200 years prior to the most recent round of stuff. And by the way, the Bible says the same thing. If somebody breaks into your house in the night, he has no blood. In other words, he's already dead, and all you're doing is making sure that you don't have to wait to find out what his intentions are. Go ahead, Tim.
I think that's a great idea, and it goes along with my doorbell that's hooked up to the innards of a microwave. out on the front porch. If they push the button long enough, the microwave engages and they get a headache.
Well, they're going to get that with 5G anyway.
Anyway, I applaud Costa Rica. I remember when my grandfather went down there as a salesman for the Duncan parking meter company, and he went into some high level meetings, and when he walked into the room where they had the meeting, there was a big long table with a whole bunch of guns on it. And they said, "What's that?" And they said, "Well, you can't carry your gun in there. We'll watch them for you." And he said, "I don't have a gun." So they frisked him.
Well, in some respects, now they do have the complete registration thing down there, but for those that do go get the permission, permission to have a gun means permission to actually keep and bear it anywhere, which is interesting.
That's great, Jeff. That's great news.
All right, well, where next, guys? We did talk about let me throw this out because I think we have to mention it, even though it was not a surprise, even though Tim is probably going to say what I will, and that is we knew this was coming, and the fact that they shouldn't have existed ever if we had a constitution just shows where we're headed. But the Fed's Masters of the Universe met on Mount Olympus this week, a.k.a. the Eccles Building in the swamp, and they decreed that we could care less that the stock market's melting down and that we know full well there's a recession coming. We are going to raise rates until something really does break. So they did. And while the nutcase in charge of that unconstitutional entity, Jay Powell, was speaking, the market, which thought they might have a change of heart, was up 400 points, and it was down 900 points lock to lock on the day, closed down 351. So literally the panic is in the streets as a result of the Fed doing what everybody knew they were probably going to go ahead and do anyway. And guess who they're going to blame?
Oh, you're going to blame Trump. You're not going to blame the election.
No,
because that's
you're right.
That's when it started going downhill because of the uncertainty that the election put into things. The election says, okay, all that deregulation, that ends now. All the re-regulation, that's going to start on January 1st. And the fact that that Trump did not hold the majority in the House, this isn't about individual House members. This is about having a majority. And the fact that the Republicans lost the majority and now the brilliant manipulations that Trump was doing on the deregulation side, those are all going away. So really, if you look at the charts historically, you're going to see right after November, right after the beginning of November is when it really took a nosedive. The uncertainty shows up a little bit before as the polling closed in. And then right after the election, kaboom. As far as raising rates, that's a darn good idea. We've been living on free money since forever, financing worthless projects since forever. And now we're going to be financing only the good stuff. So the free
it's going to take a long time to get
into
there.
Into everybody's pockets, the free flow of money into everybody's pockets is going to slow down. And that's what's keeping the speculators at bay, and that's what's bringing the market back to where it ought to be.
All right.
You may have heard many times I've said that the Dow mirrors the national debt. When it was $1 trillion back in Reagan's time, the Dow hit 1,000. And during Clinton's time, when it was 56 $5.6 trillion. The Dow was at 5,600. All through Obama's reign, the Dow followed the national debt. Our, using that metric, we should be looking at a 21 or 22,000 Dow. We're right about $21, $22 trillion. And it is tracked all the way back as far as I could track it, where the Dow is right there with the national debt. You just move the decimal points. You keep watching. So we were way due for a correction when the Dow was hitting 27,000. And we're getting right about to where it ought to be, according to my theory, when it's down around 21, 22. So we're really not behind. We're right where we ought to be.
I can't disagree with that, other than to say that the problem isn't that the interest rates need to go up or go down. The problem is that wherever they go from here, the die's already been cast. And to the extent that we've had the cheap money for a long time and we're way into negative interest rate territory and the piper's going to be paid, I agree. It's just that now they've realized, oh, it's time to do it because we can blame Trump for it. So that's the only place where I...
Well, when? How long would you put it off?
You can't put it off. It's coming. In other words, the meltdown is coming.
Exactly.
It ends by fire or by ice. And all they had to do was wait just long enough to where they could say, we're going to blame this new guy, and we're going to put the blame on so-called conservative economics and free markets. But it was inevitable.
Well, let's see what pans out. But it had to happen anyway. So sooner is better than letting it get worse.
Yeah.
Same thing with piloting. You never let a bad trend continue. Just stop.
Turn around when you realize you've entered the thunderstorm.
Yeah, or maybe even before if you're smart.
Well, that's obviously not going to happen in the case of the economy. We've been flying in the thunderstorm for a while now.
You betcha. But
okay.
I've been taking up Jeff's time all day, so I'm sorry, Jeff. I apologize there.
No, man, it's okay. You guys are talking about something particular there, and some of my news is really a little bit less poignant to the American economy, although I do believe this particular bit of news here is very important to America's economy, and that is several of China's very underdeveloped and almost mothballed shipyards, military shipyards, have actually gone through a very, very large increase in size and activity over the last couple of years, even to the point where now they're saying that China has as big an active navy as the United States active navy, and that China is saying that this is the time that they need to increase their position militaristically in the region more so than ever, is what they're saying. And interesting, Japan has a new treaty coming up. The United States is signing this treaty. Russia is supposed to be signing this treaty. And Russia says that it is a blockage to the treaty signing that America is involved with Japan and the Sino-Chinese region. You know, there's a lot of things happening over there with Russia and China. Russia has a brand new missile that they're not wanting to talk about. Very, very super, a hypersonic, low visibility missile. And China has also increased their expenses in militaristic futurology. And I think that both of these groups, both Russia and China, specifically China, are gauging themselves or preparing themselves for their economic downturn, which has already started, in preparation for United States whenever they realize their economic downturn is almost at its fulfillment and starts full-on world war. Why are we backing out of Syria and backing out of all these other smaller battles? Because we're preparing for a larger battle. Seems to be this underlying tone that the Chinese world and several other of their neighbors are feeling is fixing to happen. That we start off with a financial war, we call them tariffs, trade wars, and then we move into full-scale bloodshed. And there's a lot of pressure right now worldwide, and everything you guys are talking about, you know, is all very applicable, specifically in the United States household. But outside of the United States household, which there is a heck of a lot more of outside than there is inside when it comes to the United States, the rest of the world is ready for there to be a very large either uprising, civil uprising, or just an out-and-out direct militaristic engagement worldwide. This is something that is just rumors across the globe at a rate that I haven't seen before. Will it happen? Who knows?
I think the biggest difference, Jeff, is and Putin had a multi-hour press conference the other day, essentially saying similar things. As oppressed as China is, and you know, you have basically the Google partnership with Big Brother over there running their socialist credit score system, and a whole lot of other places. Apple, of course, the big slave labor company. In spite of all of that, I think the average Chinese, certainly the average Russian, has a lot better understanding of the coming world war than the average American does. It looks like even on the streets of France and other places, Belgium and all over Europe, as they're witnessing the invasion, the Islamic invasion there, and they've had it, and they're taken to the streets, people are more aware of just how things have already gone over the cliff than they are in the United States. And we're talking about it on a number of fronts, and you know, Tim's criticism has been valid. Whether it's bump stocks and other things that that don't look so important, or the Fed's open market committee having said, okay, we're going to raise rates. Well, yeah, that should have happened a while back, but it should never have been allowed to go where it did in the first place. And all of these things essentially are just the United States kicking the can down the road and saying, we're going to keep people ignorant of what's really going on. And when they finally wake up to it, it'll be too late. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, you know, I've been reading quite a bit about the First World War and the Second and a whole bunch of other things. If you look at these cataclysms, nobody sees them coming until they're there. The First World War started with a botched half-rate assassination attempt, and in 6 weeks, Europe was on fire for no good reason whatsoever.
But the kindling had been carefully laid for years.
Not so much. It was mostly ignorance on the at the top levels. You watch the Kaiser and his advisors really just distrusted Russia, and they were worried that Russia was going to use Serbia as a surrogate and come through, and there was just no good intel. I think that we must have better intel now, but we never did find Saddam's weapons of mass destruction, and the whole world agreed that he had a bunch of it. The other, when you look at World War II would have been completely different if Hitler hadn't been such a doofus and declared war on the United States after the United States declared war on Japan. If Hitler had held his fire a little bit longer and not attacked Russia, the Soviet Union, his ally until that moment, we'd all be speaking German. We don't see these things coming until they hit us. Nobody thought that Waco was going to end in a fiery disaster.
Well, so how do you explain? How do you explain that we're seeing it now? Okay, go ahead, Jeff.
Tim, the reason we're not speaking German now is because the Germans who have already invaded England learned to speak English, but it's still German, right? Go ahead.
There you go. No, I'm saying these things come upon us extremely quickly. They show up, and one day you don't realize it, and the next day you got a big problem. The French Revolution was the same way. You look at each one of these things, and everybody who's right next to it, who ought to be looking straight at it, says, oh, that'll never happen. But then it happens.
Well,
and we've got to be on guard for this.
You're right, but as you were speaking, Tim, I couldn't help but think about the old joke about how bankruptcy happens. Slowly at first, and then all of a sudden.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We're on the slowly at first
part. It's not a problem until it erupts.
Yeah, you never hear you lost your job because the business closed until after the doors are already closed.
And yet,
that's right. You show up for work and there's a chain on the fence. What do you do?
That's how it's going to happen here. And they're talking about, oh, we're going to close the government tonight. Yeah, you know, the last time they closed the government, everybody got paid except all the national parks were closed. Everybody who, all the benefits to the users, to the citizens were closed, but all the people who got big paychecks for doing nothing kept getting their big paychecks for nothing. Isn't that wonderful?
I will suggest.
Why come I can't run my business like that?
Because you have to make a profit.
Like that, I'd be big like the United States.
The problem is, the reason why they don't want this shutdown to happen, guys, I think we all know this, is because if they really did shut the government down for, say, a month, and nobody noticed, if nobody noticed, yeah, and things got better, then they got a real problem. People are saying, well, let's just leave it shut down. And that's the biggest fear, really, I think, that's behind the scenes here.
Well, George H.W. Bush put out a thing back about 1990, where he said there won't be any new regulations for at least 6 months, and that's going to save us $14 billion or whatever it was. And I wrote an editorial at the time that said, why don't you just discontinue them altogether and it'll pay off the national debt?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well,
just
eliminate.
Stop doing it.
Eliminate all the things that start with the word bureau that don't do anything that's constitutional, and you can save 90%.
Yeah. Well, stop interfering and we'll be just fine. You know,
I still think that the reversal on hemp as a crop is going to pay off the national debt all by itself.
Well, I sure hope so.
Especially if we can keep wood and cotton off of out of it from trying to keep them subjected, because hemp will overthrow cotton, overthrow wood, overthrow paper industry. Hemp is going to save America. As long as they keep bloody fingers out of it.
It was a big crop for a long, long time before they outlawed it. Okay, well, let me throw out one other interesting, I would say, piece of good news. This is how I started off the week this week. A fellow that I don't really care for very much, don't admire, pretty well to the left and, big prominent atheist named Sam Harris, actually did something where I'd say you gotta give credit where credit's due. He quit Patreon. Because it's a public-private partnership, and basically Patreon's been cutting off all kinds of people, notably folks like Alex Jones and others. It's about cutting off funding of the politically incorrect via the Internet. And Sam Harris said, I'm going to leave it because they're going to do the same thing to me or to anybody else at some point. So I say kudos, hear, hear.
And how do we just get off Facebook?
Well, that's the other thing. That was the other good news. So here you go. On the same day, they used us for crisis PR. Facebook's so-called fact checkers, including one that's a Snopes alumnus, have said, they're using us for political purposes. And they didn't like it. And then by the end of the week, we have this story. I'll just read the headline from Zero Hedge. Facebook has officially lost the public's trust. Of the major tech companies, Facebook, by far and away, is the least trusted with people's personal information. Almost half their users.
41%. 41% of Americans polled do not trust Facebook with their data.
And they shouldn't. And it's about time they figured it out. So I guess that's good news. Now, if they would just realize that they can't trust NSA and the FBI with anything, we'd be a lot better off, too. And, by the way, you can't trust the Federal Reserve to manage the economy, and probably can't trust CNBC and MSNBC and CNN to report the truth of what's going on. Is there anybody we can trust?
Well, let's see. Let's start a GoFundMe account that's going to come up with a rival for Facebook that allows you to migrate all your Facebook friends and your Facebook posts to the new site, except we won't censor it.
And we can't use Patreon to fund it, though.
Well, you can't use Patreon, you can't use GoFundMe, you can't use anything else, because they're all basically saying if it's not politically correct, you can't say it, and we're not going to fund it. Even some of the major credit card companies have done the same thing. You can look at Operation Choke Point during the Obama regime for that.
Well, we can just do the TMJ funding, you know, where it's Tim, Mark, and Jeff. We'll just fund it ourselves.
Great. All right. Well, thanks, guys. Shabbat Shalom, folks.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry blessed Christmas.